Okay, good morning. Liz, okay. We are started last time talking about seven disagreements, machlokes, and they have to do with Shemitah, well, that I thought were important, seven important ones. We didn't finish all seven. Last time we did 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7. And today, Mr. Shem, we're going to do number 5 and number 6. If I counted it differently, we could probably say there are 7 going to be today also. But anyhow, we'll start like this. Okay. the first is, we're going to talk about the three calls of the Chazon Ish. And that is like this. During Shemitah, farmers can't work the fields. And anything that grows in the field is hefker also. So that's obviously a huge financial issue for a farmer, or appears to be a financial issue to a farmer. So one of the ways that in modern times, you know, in the past 50 years, they've been trying to help that, 75 years, to help the farmers a little bit with the financial side, is something called Leitze Besen, which I mentioned last time. I'll say it again briefly, and that is, all the pears are hefker. Everything that grows is hefker. And what the Tosefta says is, people could do it, is the community can appoint people, community meaning the Besen. The community appoints people to go out to the fields, find all that fruit that's out there that's hefker, and bring it into town, bring it to where people can get to it, to make it accessible to people. So the Bezin is doing things that a regular person couldn't do. A regular person couldn't harvest all that stuff together in professional ways and this and that. But as a community, they're allowed to do that. And it's for the public. Okay. So when they do that, the produce is hefker, and that's Kedusha Shviyas. But a lot of that work that happens is they're allowed to get paid for. Which is to say, the produce is hefker, but you know, if you want me to truck it in from there, from the farm to the city, I can pay for that. You want me to put it into a bag, you want me to do all kinds of, or even to pull off the field, pull off the tree. The community can pay someone to do that. All that work someone could pay for, so they can pay someone. And guess what? The person who's most qualified to do that is the farmer, because he deals with this field all the time. He knows exactly how to deal with it, and he has the equipment, so they pay him. So essentially what happens is that if the apples would have cost $1 a pound, let's say they could pay the farmer 75 cents a pound for all the work he does, it should be at least cheaper than it is, because you're not paying for the actual fruit itself, but all the work that goes into delivering it and packaging it, and all that work, the farmer gets paid for, and therefore the farmer can make some money during Shemitah that he help him with all the financial issues that he can't be a farmer. Okay, so that's called Leitze Besen, and people use that more or less to help farmers during Shemitah and give people produce. People have stuff now, they're cheaper. Okay, so there are three kulas that the Chazon Ish has that have to do with Leitze Besen, that because of these three kulas have made it much more financially worthwhile, much more reasonable to have an Leitze Besen. Okay, these three kulas stand behind the Leitze Besen. Okay, if not for them, it would not be as usable as it is without it. Okay? And three calls like this. The first one we're going to do is called Ukmi Peri. Okay? And that means like this. On Shemitah, there are, the Gemara says, there are Avos and Toldos. Just like on Shabbos, there are Avos and Toldos. There are 39 Avos Malchus on Shabbos, and they have Toldos. And on Shemitah, there's also Avos and Toldos. Okay? There are 4 or 6 Avos. Well, that's a question. Let's say there are 6 Avos. Okay? But there's a very big difference between Shabbos and Shemitah. On Shabbos, a tolda is just as awesome as an av. It makes no difference if it's an av or a tolda. As far as the iser, it's exactly the same. But on Shemitah, only avos are awesome midiraisa. Toldas are not awesome midiraisa. So lots of things, like watering the field. Watering the field is only awesome midrabanan. It's only a tolda of planting, and therefore it's only awesome midrabanan. Okay, so what? Awesome midrabanan is still awesome. So the rule is like this. This is the rule for malachas on Shemitah. There's a difference between whether you're doing ukmi ilana or ivru ilana. Ukmi ilana means you're keeping the tree the way it is, you're maintaining the way it is, and you're keeping it from getting damaged. The tree or the field, you're doing something to do that. That's mutter, if it's in malachat rabbanan, for ukmi ilana you're allowed to do it, just to keep the tree the way it is, that shouldn't get ruined, you're allowed to do malachat rabbanan. The chacham didn't ask you from doing those, but ivru ilana, to improve your tree, or to make it have better fruit, or improve your field, those things you're not allowed to do, even if it's a rabbanan. Okay, so that's a din that everybody agrees to. Uk mi'ilana for Yisroel and Darbani, you're allowed to do. Uvru yilana for Yisroel and Darbani, you're not allowed to do. Okay? So that's all for the tree. So the Chazanish said, not only can you do it for the tree, but you can also do it for ukmi peri also. You can also do it, you can do melachas rabbanan to make you have better fruit. Okay, not, the din says ukmi ilana, to help the tree. Chazan says, no, you can do it also for ukmi peri, to help the fruit of the tree also. Okay? And Rav Kook said, he says, what are you talking about? He didn't talk to him, but he said, I don't know if he did, but I should take it back. He says, what are you talking about? What do you mean you do things to help the fruit? The fruit are hethkar. They're not your fruit. If it's your tree, so you say, you're allowed, the Chacham said, we'll let you do things to keep your trees. the Ram says, Shloi Teyase Aretz Melecha V'yamas Kol Eitz Sheva. The Chacham didn't want that all the trees in the whole Eretz Yisrael should die out every Shemitah. He says, what do you do with fruit? He says, why should you let to do the fruit? The fruit's not yours, and the fruit is not this long-term problem. It's not the trees. If the trees would die every 7 years, there'd be no trees in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, every 7 years, they're gonna be falling apart. So Chacham said you could do Yisroel Darbanan. He says, but who said you're allowed to do ukmi peri, which does not say an early preskim? So the Chazanish back and forth about it, and the Chazanish says you are allowed to, and the
some of us to classify this meaning what you're doing now is not gonna. The tree is fine. The tree will survive.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're doing now is to allow the harvest of this year to be good.
Better fruit. Get better fruit from this
year. Get fruit or better fruit.
Correct. So that's why you're doing it.
So it was the year after, you know, I don't do anything. If I don't do this this year, I'll have bad fruit. But next year I'll have good fruit.
Everything will be perfectly fine next year. Right? But I'm doing it just for this year.
I'll do it just for this year.
Right.
To get decent fruit.
So the reason why this is so important is because if the farmers couldn't do things to make good fruit, nobody would buy the Eitz Chabetz and produce. If the stuff came out looking horrible, and it didn't come out looking as good, nobody would pay for it, or they wouldn't pay as much for it. So by the farmer to do ukmi peri, to do things that are isurin rabbanan, that help the fruit come out better, that makes him have a produce that's worth selling, that somebody was willing to pay for it. I told you, apples cost $1 a pound. He's going to sell for 75 cents. But if he brings apples that are only themselves only worth 50 cents a pound, because they're such garbage, no one's going to pay 75 cents.
In some situations, you might not have a crop. It'd be just terrible. Destroy it. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess that could happen also. That could be. I'm thinking of it just that it'll be more worthwhile people pay for it. Okay, so this is one cool of Chazanish that helps people set up an Eitz Chabetz. Okay, Rav Kook did not hold it. He did not think it was correct. Okay. Now, this is so far for fruit. That's okay. Fruit is what we think of when we think of Eitz Chabetz and we think of things having Kedusha Shvias. And the reason why I think of fruit is because vegetables and grains, things that have to be planted every year, are asur on Shemitah. The asur mid rabbanan as svichin. So how can you have oitzer bezdin for a vegetable? It seems impossible. Because oitzer bezdin means that we start with something that's mutter on Shemitah, an apple, and then we just have a way to get it to town, and the bezdin takes care of it, etc., as I told you. But in tomatoes, you can't have tomatoes. First, you can't plant tomatoes on Shemitah, and even if they grew by themselves, so they're svichin and asur mid rabbanan. So oitzer bezdin seemingly, if you think about it by yourself, you'd say, no, Eitz Chabetz only works for fruits. Can't possibly be for vegetables and grains. Okay? So now we come to the second kul of the Chazanish. Okay? It's called Zriya Mukdemet. Okay? Early planting. What does that mean? Vegetables and grains, they're considered to be Shemitah produce if they are harvested during Shemitah. So that means today, it's the middle of Shemitah. Today someone goes out and harvests a tomato, that's a Shemitah tomato. Okay, so the Rambam holds that's true for Indian for all kinds of dinim, including that it's an isser of svichin. I mean, if I pick a tomato, tomato is not a good example. A tomato today that was planted before Shemitah, and I pick it today, it's a Shemitah tomato, so it's also a svichin. Okay, but the Rash says no. He says for grains you're right. For grains that's true, but for and something called kitnias, that's a classification in Hilchos Zeroyim. But for yarakos, okay, another kind of food called yarakos, we'll use the word vegetable. It's not exactly a translation, but we'll use the word vegetables. Then, as long as they started to grow before Shemitah, they're not aser svichin. Svichin is only aser if it started to grow on Shemitah. If it started to grow before Shemitah, it's not svichin, even though it's peyrus shvias. If you pick it today, everyone agrees that it has kedusha shvias. It is shvias produce today. But, and I guess it's hefker, But it's not Svichin, that's what Rashi holds.
What is starting to grow mean? Sprouting out of the ground?
No, yeah, in the tiniest bit. Even the tiniest bit. Okay, so Rav Kook says the din is like Dramam. So therefore, every vegetables picked during Shemitah are automatically Svichin, automatically Aser. Okay? And the Chazanish says, well, Svichin is only Issa Drabanan. So you could be Samech on the Rash over here to say that there's no Isser Svichin on Yerukas that were planted before Shemitah, they started to grow, and they wouldn't harvest it on Shemitah. Okay? And therefore, what farmers do is they do a Suriya Mukdemet, they plant early. They plant before Shemitah starts, a week before Shemitah, they plant potatoes and tomatoes and other vegetables like that, that will start to grow right away, and they grow during Shemitah. So now today, they're harvesting vegetables that were planted with Azriya Mukdemet, they planted early, they planted right before Rosh Hashanah, to grow on Shemitah. Those vegetables have Kedusha Shviyas, because they're Shviyas produce, they grew today, they harvest it today. But they are not, according to Chazanish, they're not considered Svi'itim, and therefore, again, they could be part of an Eitz HaBezin. Okay, so here we managed to get an Eitz HaBezin for vegetables.
Except an Eitz HaBezin, right?
No, it has to work with Eitz HaBezin. Because it doesn't do the farmer any good for it to grow without Eitz HaBezin. What's he going to do with 1,000 tomatoes? Mm-hmm. So the only value that it's Hefker. The produce is Kedushas, it's for sure it's Hefker. It only works if he connects to a Eitz HaBezin who will take his things and then pay him for all the work that he's going to do for it. Just to have potatoes doesn't do any good. I mean, unless he's very hungry. What's he going to do with it? Just a million potatoes doesn't do any good. The point is he could therefore connect to an Eitz HaBezin. Okay? That's the second one. Yeah. That helps for Yerukas. I told you, even the Rash holds that's not true for kidneys and grains. And Tvuah, and Kitnias, he does not hold on it like for those cases. Okay, so far we had a way to get Peiris better fruit. Let him do Isur Drabanan with Bukmin Peiri. You can get Yerukas by Isurim Mukdamit. So for a good half of the year, you could be having Yerukas could be grown. Okay,
and you probably you can eat that Peiri too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you can do it. Yes, put them together. But I still didn't help you. We need the third kul of the Chazanish to help us with Tvuah. Okay, to grow grains. Okay, and that's called stay near. Okay, stay near, and that is like this. The Mishnah says, Yerushalmi says that there are four fields. The Arba Sod is called. There are four fields that there's no Isser Svichin on these fields. Things that grow in these fields have no Isser Svichin. And the reason is because, I'm not going to tell you all four of them, but the reason is because the Isser of Svichin is because if you let people take vegetables, things that grew by themselves, people will plant and pretend that it grew by itself. So the Chacham said, in these four kinds of fields, there's no way anybody would plant in these kind of fields, and therefore you don't have to worry that if you let them eat Svichin, maybe they'll eat the things that maybe they'll plant themselves. Because nobody would be so foolish as to plant in this kind of a field, and therefore there's no chesed, the Arba Sodas, okay? And one of the Arba Sodas is called a stay near, okay? And a stay near means a field that you grew something in this field that makes it unreasonable that any normal farm would want to plant here this year. Nobody would want to plant this year. This is a year it's obvious that you have to leave your field open this year, agriculturally. It doesn't make any sense to plant in this field this year, and therefore, things that grow in this year, in a stay near, are not usher as svichin. Okay? So the Chazanish said, what they should do is, and this is in fact what people do, what they should do is, they plant wheat in the sixth year, and by planting wheat in the sixth year, for whatever, kinereh, it's not smart to then plant wheat again the next year. Okay? That's it seems how they do with wheat and wheat. Somehow, if we grow wheat in one year, it's not smart to grow it the next year. And the Chazanish says, in Cain, we could call this stay near. Because no regular farmer would want to plant wheat in this field again. So what you do is you plant wheat in the sixth year, and then you do a Zriya Mukdemet of wheat right before Rosh Hashanah, and that wheat is not also a Svichin, because this is a stay near. Nobody would want to plant wheat in this field. So you're scratching your head, of course, you're saying, no, I don't plant wheat. I just did it.
It's not such a great crop.
Right. So that's what the Chazanish says, but you can understand that people don't take that. You know, you're calling it a stay near when you're on purpose. You just planted there.
So isn't the word stay near mean a plowed field?
Yeah, but it means plowed because it had already grown something, and you're going to, for this year, just plow it and leave it alone. I think that's how the name comes from. Okay, but the idea of a stay near is it's something that nobody would want to plant in this field this year. So as I said, we could create our own stay near. We're going to make our own. We're going to plant wheat in the 60 years. You have to really be planned for this. We're going to plant wheat in the 60 year so that we can then do a Zrim Mukdamet. That's our second cool. We do a Zrim Mukdamet of wheat right before Rosh Hashanah. It will grow during Shemitah, and it will be considered perish. It'll be perish shvias, but they won't be svichin. And then we could put them into an Eitz Beis Din and make money. The farmer can make money like that. Okay. So these are three kulas that the Chazon Ish holds. Three kulas that make it more viable for a person to have an Eitz Beis Din and for a farmer to therefore make money. And therefore, as you can imagine, which is where our next thing we'll talk about is at the mechir, it avoids, it's a farmer, you could make, I'm going to make up a number, you could make 40% of the income you made in another year, so that many more people are willing to go along with the Hilchos Shmita. You know, part of what holds people back is the nisayon, the money of it, you know, how am I going to survive? So I say to you, you're going to make 40%, so for some people, that's going to make, that's enough to get them over the hill, over the top, and say, okay, good, so then I can keep Shmita this year.
So for guys like this, let's say people have orchards, right? They're not the ones that were raising money for?
No,
it's
a good question. So if you have, I speak about it. I looked at the financials and things like that and how they spend it. So the people who give out the money for Keren Shvius give out, they say that they give it out based on the need of the farmer. I mean, if you're a farmer who grows apples and you're going to, through Eitz HaBezit, earn 40%, you get less money than the guy who grows, I don't know, tomatoes, who's only earning 10% of his money. So they try to give it out based on the need, meaning based on how much could you earn, how much could we help you earn through Eitz HaBezit, or some other ways that we could find you to make money, that we try to give you to help you. You get less compared to the guy who had other ways, who didn't make as much. You know what I mean? That they try to give out their money intelligently that way. You know what I'm saying? Rather, you know, I don't want to give anybody nothing. The point is they give you less if you have other ways to make. Okay. That was our fifth thing, and now we're gonna move to the Het Mechira. Okay.
Once the fact memory of Cook was able to afford to be machmer at these things because he utilized Het Mechira.
So you can say which is the horse and which is the car. I don't remember specifically people argued. I don't remember specifically people argued. But the reason to argue is more straightforward. You know, it's like just seems hard to call it a stay near. So you could talk about which is the horse and which is the cart over here. Are we being machmir about all those things because I have Het Mechira, or do I say Het Mechira because it's so hopeless to make any money, therefore I'm more pushed to say Het Mechira, or the other way around? I don't hold the Het Mechira, therefore I want to be extra mekel. Do I want to be extra mekel, and therefore I don't have to hold the Mechira? Or is it completely, both of them are completely independent? If they came to both decisions independently. It's just sort of, so, you know, but what is worth knowing is that even though we look at, and we say the Chazon Ish, as we're going to hear in a second, is the machmir about the Het Mechira. So we think that he's overall a machmir in Shemitah. It's true about the Het Mechira, he's a machmir. About everything else about Shemitah, he's a meko. Okay, he's not a machmir about Shemitah. As I just told you, these three important kulas, he's not a particularly not a machmir about Shemitah. Okay. Now on to the Het Mechira. The Het Mechira, as you probably know, the Het Mechira is that people in Eretz Yisrael have really a hard time keeping Shemitah. So back in the late 1800s, they came with this idea that they would make a mechira. They would sell the land to Goyim. The deal was they're not allowed to do Isurim D'Oraisa. Not everybody follows that, but they're not allowed to do Isurim D'Oraisa. You're going to do Isurim D'Rabbanan at that point, Melachos D'Rabbanan, which is almost everything. Almost everything is D'Rabbanan. And at that time, in the late 1800s, there were people who supported it and people against it, as you well know. And at that time, there was really the financial situation was really desperate. So people were extra mekel. People liked it and didn't like it, and that continues on till this day. The people who like it and don't like the Het Mechira. Okay, as you probably also know, Rav Kook was originally started in this position as the Rav of Yafo. Eventually became the Rav Rashi. He took care of the Mechira and he defended it. Wrote about it to defend it. At the same time, even though he did that, he very much encourage people to be shemesh shvius in the regular way, and he talked about how terrible it is that we have to come on to this, het demachira, how terrible it is that we have to do this and not keep shmita the way we're supposed to. And on the opposite side was the Chazon Ish, who was strongly against it and said, no, we should keep shmita the way it's supposed to be done, and we should not follow het demachira. Okay, so I'm going to talk in three different parts. The first is that there are the prerequisites. In order to say a het demachira, in order to have such a structure of a het demachira, before we talk about whether it's right, what the halachic questions, the second and third point are, the first is, there are three prerequisites. The first is, you have to say, if the land would belong to Goyim, then there wouldn't be any shmita rules to it. Okay, we talked about that last time, Yevul Nachri. Okay, that in itself was a machlokes, where it happens to be in that case, the Chazon Ish was a machmir. That you have to say the most, but it's most assumed that if it grows from a Goy, there's no isurim. Everything is mutter. Okay, that's the first thing. The second is...
There's no first base.
Right, Chazon Ish says that it's also, it's already also, correct. The second is, you have to hold the Shemitah to the Rabbanan. Everybody who talks about it says, it's only because Shemitah to the Rabbanan do we have, could we think about being so makel. And the third is, that we have to say that there's a Shasat Chak. Okay, if things are so desperate that we need to be samach on all kinds of shitas that are mekil that we might not have otherwise been samach. Okay, now, in this last part, though, is a shasat chag. So Rav Kook said, he said a bunch of different ways. But one,
so why does that mean a shasat chag?
Because there's going to be all kinds of coolers, all kinds of things that we're doing that are not so lachatchil, or first choice, or maybe we're being samach on das yachid, and therefore we're saying, since it's a shasat chag, therefore we have to be samach. Rav Kook said, therefore I'm willing to be samach on these kind of kulos.
Okay? So what in particular is such a, not certain thing that is mutter that has to be shasat chag?
So I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Okay, wait, I can get to the specific issues. I'm going to only talk about some of them, but the point was, he said at that time, if they don't take care of their fields, he says, the Goyim will kick them out. The Goyim will take over their lands. The Goyim will kill them. The Goyim, all kinds of horrible, the people will starve, literally starve to death. They had no trade. So we have to just think about it and say is, the situation in 150 years ago is not the situation today. Today, it's a whole different world. The country is controlled by Yidden, it's not controlled by Goyim. They could buy things from Chutz Arts if they wanted, they could get food. They're not so worried about all the concerns they had over there. So, you have to, I forgot that we also have Oitz Bezdin and we have greenhouses to grow produce. So you have to just pause and say, they write it how we're being makel because there's such a Shasat Chak. Is that Shasat Chak? Are we in such a horrible, our situation, worse than it was in the time of the second base of Middash? No, probably a lot better. So it's the whole idea that there's a Shasat Chag is questionable. It was 150 years ago, and today is not the same world. Related to that was, two related things were, the base Levi said, he says, how can he say that you could be Samech on a Shasat Chag when the mitzvah itself, the Dorchat is built into the mitzvah? This is a mitzvah. This is not a mitzvah like shaking lulav. That you have a shasat chag, you say, okay, you're going to be samach. This mitzvah is put yourself in a really difficult situation of having no parnasa for the whole year. That's what the mitzvah is. So you say, it's a shasat chag, I have no money. That's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is put yourself into that situation. Okay, that was basically. And others say, how can you say it's a shasat chag when the Torah says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. The Marsham says, I'm taking care of you. So you see, it's a Shasat Chag. So that was a question we're not talking about. We talked about last week. That was is there a Haftacha when it's only Durban? That's a Shaila itself. Right. But assuming that there is a Haftacha, so does the Marsham say, I told you, don't worry about it. We talked about the last week. You'll listen to the recording. Okay, so now let's talk about, there's two main Halachic Shailas about that, the technical, so to speak, shaylos about the het demachira. Okay, and the first is gemir stas. That's like this. Gemir stas means that if you want to make a kinyan, you want to buy or sell something, then you have to, both people have to be interested. They have to really mean it, that they want to buy or sell it. So the question is over here, everybody knows that the buyer and the seller, that's a harama. Everybody knows that the people are not trying to sell the land. Everybody knows that we go through this thing every 7 years to make this whole to-do, and we go through all the steps of selling the land, but nobody wants to sell it, nor does anybody want to buy it, okay? It's not anything else, just a formality, okay? So does that Could it be that the fact that it's such a haram, the whole thing is such an obvious sham, that there's no gmiras das? If there's no gmiras das, then he didn't buy anything. Okay, just a little put in perspective. I mean, this doesn't sound funny, but people say we need a hetter mechira to help the Israeli farmers. Okay, really? We're not helping Israeli farmers. Israelis, those farmers don't own the land anymore. You just told me they're selling their land. They belong to some whatever Ukrainian guy who they sold it to. So how are we helping Israeli farmers if they don't even own land anymore? Right? So that tells you I'm selling it so that you should help the farmer, but it's not his anymore. So obviously you don't yourself believe that that he sold it. You know what I mean? Anyhow. Okay, so there's three reasons to think. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Even though it looks like it's a sham, it's okay. And the first is because the Gemara says when you took Issa Drabanan, haram is mutter but Drabanan. When it's only Drabanan, you could do a haram.
Okay. I think the way I understood the haram to be is that as opposed to Chametz Pesach, if the guy comes and says,
I'm coming to it. Okay, so the first, yes, I'll say that in one second. Let me just finish what I was about to say. One is that it's a, you remember from last time, haram b'drabanan. Okay, so to that, they bring it, the Chasam Sofer says, he brings all kinds of riyas that it's not such a rule. You can't, like every drabanan we don't say, we don't allow haram drabanan. So he says, so the Chasam Sofer wasn't talking about the Hetter Mechira. He didn't live by the Hetter Mechira. But it's not so clear that really haram is multiple every drabanan. Okay, the next thing is what you were about to say, which was, it's like Mechira's chametz. Every year, people say, come on, every year we sell a chametz. Everybody knows that the guy's not going to take the chametz. The whole Chicago sells the chametz to one guy, and he buys all the chametz. And then as soon as Pesach is over, people are rushing back to get their chametz. Okay, and everybody knows that that's a shame. Also, we let it. So if it works today, let it work for here also. Okay, and the argument against that is that the people who sell the chametz to Pesach, they're really sincere. Those people, they really don't want to own chametz on Pesach. And if the guy who takes their chametz and gives them the money, it's okay with me. You want to give me my $3 and take my box of Cheerios? Just say it, I don't care. I'll take $3. First of all, I'll go buy another box of Cheerios. But forget about that I can use the money to buy another one. It's that I really don't want to own chametz and Pesach. That's why we did this. That's why I go to sign for Mechira's chametz, because I don't want to own chametz and Pesach. As opposed to the Hetter Mechira, some of the people are very sincere. They really don't want to be everyone in Yisrael or Shemitah. And some people are not. They just know. The rabbi says, sign here. They sign over here. They have no sincerity over there. You know what I mean? And what would happen? The guy's going to give me the money. That would happen. Give me the money. Where am I going to go? Like, what am I going to do with it? You know?
I wouldn't be asking if you're going to give me the money. I really wouldn't.
Right. If you said to the farmer, here's the dollar we want. Oh, whatever. You know, here's a $500,000 for your farm. They're like, no, this is my farm. I've been living here since my grandfather. You know what I mean? I'm not going anyplace. As opposed to, you want my schnapps?
That wasn't the deal. The deal was you can sell it back.
Right. As opposed to, you want my schnapps? Just say, take my schnapps. See if I can give me the value of the schnapps. I'll go buy another bottle. We're all over that. Okay. And the third thing is, the third reason to argue on, say that there's no gemiras das,
is there any time to say, I'm selling it to you, I'll tell you to sell it back to me? So in other words, so if you don't sell it back to me, okay, so I'm taking a chance on the suffering that I've gone on. But at least it's sincere. At least it's sincere. I really will sell it if you'll sell it back to me.
I don't remember. I don't know if that works for these kind of things. I don't remember. I'm sure people talk about it, but I don't remember.
They might not be sincere.
I understand.
Because if you're going to be really wanted, that's like a tonight, that's like a very entangled in Mechira. If you really don't, that's not a Mechira, but I'll try. I'm serious about that, yeah.
Okay, and the third reason to defend it, to say, don't worry about the Gemiras Das problem, is because it's Torah Shebaleiv. The rule is that if you go through the formalities of something, like in this case you do the Kinyanim, and you in your mind don't really mean it, or you have some condition in your head, or something's going on in your head as to controlling this thing, you say, Torah Shebaleiv and Torah, doesn't make a difference. The fact that you had that in mind, everyone sees you did the Kinyan, you did the sale, a sale is a sale. So that's a reason to say it should be okay. So the question to that is, the rebuttal to that is that there's another rule, and that is, it's only believe overlay called them. If everybody knows there's an anzahadi that you don't mean it, then it's not considered dvar mishal believe. It's as if it was spoken. Everybody knows that you're only doing it for this reason. So the question over here, is this a dvar mishal believe? Is it I did a kinyan and I'm selling it? Or is it an anzahadi, it's obvious that you don't mean that? That's a question of how to judge. I'm going to say to you, is that it could be that whether it's a dvarim shebaleiv or it's a non-tahadi that it's not true, may depend on the following. should we look at this mechir of the land, of the het mechir, as 1,000 people, it's about 5,000 people, each selling their land? Each one of those could very well mean it. Then no, it's not an outside, it's an obvious, it doesn't mean to sell it. To what? Could I may want to sell it, you might want to sell it, you might sell it. So each, if you look at these as 5,000 individual sales, then each person, it's not obvious that he doesn't mean it. But on the other hand, if you look at it as a collective sale, we look at it, everybody together, 5,000 farmers, which is almost like 75%, about 50% of the land in Eretz Yisrael is being sold at one time, that's so obvious that doesn't mean it. That's believe or blame call. That's an outside that it doesn't mean. So maybe that the question of how you should view this may depend on, should we look at the sale as the rabbi is arranging for 5,000 individuals to sell their sale? That could be okay. Or we say, no, the rabbi is selling 5,000 pieces of land, farmers' land at the same time. That's obvious that's a joke. That he doesn't mean like that. Okay, that might depend on which way you look at it. Okay, that's our first halachic issue is, should we say that there's no gemir stas? The way I was told, I might have even seen in writing, the Rabbi Yashin held that was the more serious of the problems about the het mechir. Okay, now the second question is leshichanim, and this is the one the Chazon Ish says. He says I could accept the het mechir if not for this problem. He holds that this is the ikkar problem, that this is a leshichanim. Now, what is leshichanim? So I'm going to break it down to the following. Leshichanim, in order to say that this problem of leshichanim makes it that there's no Mechira, there are four steps, and all four have to be true. If any one of those four things is not true, then the Mechira is fine. Lois Chanim is not a problem. Okay? You'll see what I mean in a second. Okay. Lois Chanim is like this. The first thing is, if the Rabbanut is selling the land for me, they are my Shliach. That's the first thing. In order to, this problem is going to be breaking down to four parts. They have to be my Shliach. Second, if someone sells land in Eretz Yisrael, they're over on the Isser of Lois Sichanim. Lois Sichanim means this. There's an Isser to give Chaniyah Bakarka, to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to someone who's not Jewish. So the second is that selling land, in fact, is an Isser of Lois Sichanim. And the third is, if so, if number one is that the Rabbanu is Mashliach, and there's an Isser to sell land, then by the Rabbanu is now Shliach Dvar Avera. The Shliach to do the Avera of Lois Sichanim. And a fourth step is, we have to say that in cases when a person is shlich dvar avera, that it's mabata l'shlichus. So what happens is, if all those four things are true, he's my shlich, and there's an isser l'shichanim, and therefore he's a shlich dvar avera, and the shlichus becomes bottle, then he didn't sell my land, because he wasn't my shlich. That was number one, he had to be my shlich. If the shlichus is bottle, he wasn't my shlich, then land was never sold, and there was no mechir. Okay? So now, if any one of these four steps is not true, then we're okay. Then the mechir works. We have to have all four.
The mechir would work, but it's still not allowed to be done wholesale.
No. So whether you're allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do it inherently, that's not my problem, me consumer. I mean, you could be against the mechir and say, you shouldn't be doing it, you're a bad boy to do it. But that's, so to speak, between the farmer and the Rabban Shalom. But as far as my concern, can I walk into the store and buy that tomato? Or can I eat that tomato? Is it usher and this and that? That's
okay, my question. It does affect the system.
Yes.
It affects the material.
Yes.
As long as it's usher, it's usher.
So we can scream and say, you're a bad boy for doing it. No. I'm saying, really, because that's one type of question. But I'm saying, it's like throwing rocks at people for driving on Shabbos. You shouldn't be doing it. Okay, that's one thing. But the question that's, so to speak, more lamaisa for us is that, does the mechira work? If the mechira works, is therefore am I okay? Am I allowed to eat the produce? You know?
There's also an issue of supporting such a system. If you buy such, you're as a consumer, buy such foods, you might not want to, okay, maybe it's al pidin, technically it's more, but
okay.
If the whole thing is usher, I don't want to, you know, be behind that. Why does this work? Because so the guy can do it and sell himself.
If nobody buys it. Okay, you can say, I accept that. Okay, so let's go through these four things. I'll try to do it quickly, okay, like this. First thing, the Rabbanu has to be Mashiach. So this seems like the most obvious. It's my land, and you want to sell it for me, you have to be Mashiach. Okay? People have tried to get around it. Most of the ways that they tried to get around the Shlichas, make him Mashiach, didn't work. But in the past two Shemitahs, I don't know what happened this year, but in last Shemitah and the Shemitah beforehand, they came up with this Chap of how to avoid Shlichas. Okay? And what they did was like this. It turns out that in Eretz Yisrael, nobody owns any land. That something called the Israeli Land Authority owns the whole Eretz Yisrael. And if you, when you, so to speak, buy a piece of land, you're really buying a 99-year lease or a 49-year lease to that piece of land. And that makes you, so to speak, the owner of the land. But really, it's not yours. It's really, it belongs to the Israeli Land Authority. Okay? So, what they did is, they said to the farmers, you know what, don't make me a shliach to sell your land. What you do is, I want you to give your land back to the Israeli Land Authority. Give it back to the government. You're allowed to do that. There's no issur to do that. It's not an issur. Now, I am represent the government. They brought in the guy from the Israeli Land Authority. They said, I, who own all this land, I represent the government, part of the government that owns all that land, I will sell the land to the guy. Okay, so we don't have shliach. The Yid, who, so to quote, owns the land, he gives his lease back. The leaseholder, I mean, now the government, says, we would like to sell the land. We sell the land to whoever it is. His name's not Jose, but we'll call him Jose. We sell it to this person. And now it's his. And now, you person who used to be the lease owner, you can go and we'll let you use it on Shemitah. Okay? So, that's a way to avoid shlichus. And if there's no shlichus, the whole thing falls apart. I told you, any one of these pieces falls out, we don't have any issur over here. So we had this great idea. There'll be no shlichus for the het mechira. Okay, so this sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like a nice idea to avoid shlichus and avoid lo sichan. And that was the idea. That's why they came up with this thing. But it destroys. David came out of his hole. He's very unsaid about that. Anyhow. But the thing is, from the Gemara's Das side of it, it made it 1,000 times worse. Because
the Israeli government, they're also shluchim on the people's practices.
No, it's whoever it is.
Who's the weather?
Right.
Who's the weather?
So you say he's also that's a fair question. I'm not sure about that. Let me think about that. But the problem is what I told you before about the Gemara's Das. I said the only way to say that there is a Gemir Stas is a Dvarm Shavalev, because it's that individual farmers are selling it. If each guy's farm is selling it, you could say that's it's only Dvarm Shavalev. He really means to sell it. He said, but imagine the Israeli government, could you imagine they went in to Bahrain, and instead of saying to Bahrain, we want to do trade with you, we want to sell you the whole country. Okay? Who would believe such a preposterous idea? I mean, it's obvious that they don't mean that. So that's what we're saying now, is that everyone gave the land back to the government for the government to turn around in true Zionistic spirit and sell the whole land to some guy. I mean, the Gemiras, so you may have helped your loisa chanim, sorry, but your Gemiras das meant a zillion times worse. It's obvious, a ridiculous thing to think that they're really selling their land. You know, when they're trying shlichas, I told you, okay, we can look at it as selling it for individual people, but to sell the whole thing as once is obviously absurd. Okay, so now, number two. I said our second step is, in order to sell the land, for this to be an issue, there has to be an issue of Lesachanim. Okay? So, there are people who said, no, maybe Lesachanim doesn't apply if you're trying to help Yidden. Lesachanim is if you're trying to, because it's bad for Israel, you know, we want it to be a Jewish place, but maybe we were trying to help Yidden, some of that's better. And I told you before, you know, we're not helping Yidden because it won't look like, okay, forget about that. Okay, maybe do a short-term sale. Maybe if the person is not open to desire, you're allowed to do it. All kinds of possibilities, but most people didn't get them. Most of the arguments to say that there was no Issel Vesachan were not so great, not so strong. Okay, so this is pretty straight. Most assume that there is Issel Vesachan. Okay, they say, okay, but even so, now we have to say that the Rabbanon is a Shliach Ravir. Okay, so that's also one of the questions, because maybe not a shliach d'avera, because one of the rules is, if the shliach doesn't think that it's an avera, then he's not a shliach d'avera. Well, maybe he's not a shliach d'avera. Here, of course, the rabbi doesn't think that they're doing an avera. The rabbi are these very important rabbis, and they believe that they're doing the right thing, that they're allowed to do this mechira. They think they can. They're not people who don't realize what they're doing. They're rabbinic figures who say, yes, you're allowed to do the mechira. So
you're trying to ignore. I mean, what so maybe.
So that's
but
one.
That's not a that's all shagging.
That what?
By shagging, there's
right. So here's more even than that, which is here. First of all, he believes he's allowed to do it, and the other argument is that we say shlich der doesn't work because it's divi rav divi talmud. But if you know the person is going to do it anyhow, then ken zayin that works. That there's no problem in shlich der avera. And over here they have a long history of doing it. I know good and well they're going to do it. It's not like I say I think he's not going to follow what I said to him because he's going to divi rav. He's going to listen. I know good and well he's going to do that. Okay, so there's arguments back and forth that maybe
why can't you have appointments? For all the people selling the land, you said it's 500, 5,000, how many?
About 5,000, yeah.
Have appointments, have it, put the guy that says it's a real job, the one with the guy that's buying it, and say, you know, every 15-minute appointments, come in, Malabas will come in, and sell it. Well, obviously.
He could do his, the Kenyanim, sit in the world Kenyanim. Okay, so it's a good question, but I suspect that most of the people are willing to do this, to sign a paper. I have to come into there and say, for an appointment, this and that you're not going to get there. That's it. So you should.
I'm going to have front people. In the gaggle, it's still, I believe, it's 100.
Right, so they're wounds.
They'll be able to say,
okay, so you should know, in the infamous time when one big Hechsher relied on a special Mechira, one thing that he did was, this is a reputable Hashgacha that relied on a special Mechira, and their part of their special Mechira was that the Mechira was on straight without a Shlichus. Okay, to avoid those chanukas. Part of what they did was to do a direct mechira to avoid shlichas. Mm-hmm. That was one of the ways to do it. So you're saying for 5,000 farmers, I don't know if you can do it, but they try to do it. They said for a specific, you a specific farmer, you could do your own like little private mechira. So just like you could tell your chametz to your next door neighbor, also, right? You could do it. You don't have to go to the rabbi.
Yes, no, the office, yeah. Make sure
you get the gun.
You know, you get a gun. You cross
the road. The rabbi stands on top. But we do with Rabbi Reed. He used to do with Miller Bakery.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You know, we do by Zoom, right? We could do the Zoom here. Is it?
You know, 50 minutes appointment, 10 hours a day. You know, 50 a day. How long will it take? It'll take 100 days.
Okay. Yeah. And now the last thing is that
I need to sell karka and to sell the comments.
Okay. The last.
No.
Yes.
It's gonna work.
The last thing is that in order for it to be a problem of a sukhanim, we have to be the shlichus becomes bottle. Okay. Now this question. This question is a Nebuchadnezzar. It's very good. There's a long, we're talking about, we have lots of discussion about this. Nebuchadnezzar talks about this, that does Ein Shlich Tzarir, the Tvar Avera means is that the Meshalef, this person who sent it, doesn't get held responsible. He doesn't get an Avera. He doesn't get, the punishment doesn't go back to him, because the guy who did the Avera, but the Shlich still is fine. Even my Shlich, he did act for me, but I just don't get any punishment because that, or no, Ein Shlich Tzarir means that you're not a Shlich altogether. Nebuchadnezzar, says like the Tosis that it mavato shlichus completely, and Chazon Ish thought that was correct. We, you know that the din is like that, but others, fathers in the Sivis who says not like that. And the Sivis says no, the shlichus is not bottle. The shlichus is still kayim. Just Ein Shlich Tzarir just means that the guy doesn't get the punishment. You know, it doesn't go back to him. But as far as did the shlichus work, the shlichus works fine. So again, if you hold like that, or again, any one of these four pieces, if you have a way to get out of any one of these four pieces, then the issue of Lo Sukhanim doesn't make a difference for consumers. So Yossi's right, that makes a difference for the sell. You can't sell it anyhow, you're still being over the Isser. But as far as us people on the end, you know, end consumers, if any one of these four are not true, then there's no problem. Then the thing for the Mechir works, so to speak, and then whatever that means.